Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire.
Give God, yes, I said give God his just due praise. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now, I said now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be refreshed and renewed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father. And, oh, yes, indeed, his beautiful, his precious Son, our Savior, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah, Redeemer, and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Right here, y'all, listen, on Fire, the gospel experience, Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unapologetically, and unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one designated with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He's our only hope, y'all. He is the light of the world for this lost, dark, and dying place that we call Earth, the world that we living in. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, y'all, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus Christ. Because I'm here to tell you as a living witness, God is not a respecter person. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and truth. We will be embracing for this fire gospel experience from the book of Job for our spiritual consideration. Chapter 42, verse 12 reads, where the Bible story of a man named Job This man is never mentioned in connection with Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. He is never mentioned anywhere in the Bible except being a man from the land of Uz, which was the land of Gentiles. Yet this man somehow came into the knowledge of the Almighty One and had suffered from the devil like no man other than our Lord Jesus. And then God turned his life around and double blessed his life. So we're going to talk about turned it. Like the young folks say, turned up? No, we're going to say God turned it. And then Job turned up. Yes, he did. My special guest is here, y'all. He is a Golden Glove boxing champion from 2012 until 2017. Personal trainer and former Pine Bluff resident, husband and father, my dear friend, good brother, man of God, Tobias Rogers is here. Man, he has a story to tell about how his life has been impacted. He has a story to tell about how God came into his life, moved him from one place to the other so that God could reveal himself to him more and more, and how his relationship with God had become his top priority and such a reality in his life. He's willing to testify about it right here on this fire gospel experience, and I can't wait to have this good brother, this man of God here to share with us wisdom, knowledge, and experience in life that led him to our Almighty God Creator. And then we have another special guest. We're going to shine our outer spotlight on another man of God. I'm telling you, it's going to be like Men's Day. Yeah, Men's Day right here on Fire, the Gospel Experience. So why don't you go ahead and call your family member. I want you to call a friend, a neighbor, anybody, and let them know Brother Ron E. Jefferson is truly indeed back on the radio to uplift our God and to encourage you and inspire you to do more than you've ever done before so that God can reward you greatly for being a faithful and obedient servant. We've already had prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, God, for leading, guiding, covering us, keeping us. And most of all, we are just so grateful for you lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire.
We do. We need a savior. yank the hose and grip the solid rock. I got to move on. This rock is Jesus. Amen.
This rock
went out and died.
This Jesus.
He died for you.
This rock.
And he died for me too.
This Jesus.
Same man.
This rock
went in the grave.
This Jesus.
And when he got up,
this rock
he had all power.
This Jesus.
In his hand, y'all.
This rock.
I'm talking about my Savior.
This Jesus.
And your Lord.
This rock
is Jesus.
This
look at him.
Jesus.
You.
Be very sure.
Lord have mercy. You be sure.
Be very sure.
Be sure. Have no doubt in your mind. You
be very sure
that you ain't good in me. I wonder tonight, are you sure? Sure, sure. You gon' hold on. And this is what you do. Grip the
solid rock.
The solid rock. That's what you gotta do, y'all. And grip the
solid rock.
The solid rock. Keep your hand in God's hand and grip the
solid rock.
Hold on. No matter how hard it gets. And grip the.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Don't you know that our Lord Jesus, he is the chief cornerstone, that God himself has laid the foundations of the church. So that way you don't have to worry about nothing sinking, something falling apart, or it not being stable, because we have been built on the solid rock that is none other than God in human flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus. That man that visited us so many over 2,020-something years ago, and we are in that festive season of celebrating Resurrection Sunday. I don't know nothing about no Easter. I don't know nothing about no bunny rabbits and baskets and all that. I know some kind of way it has attached itself to Resurrection Sunday, but please understand, if it's no bunny rabbits around on Easter Sunday, what y'all call Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, or no candy or no eggs or none of that, that's just some things that just got kind of tacked on. Y'all know how we do. We always want to add to some things, but I'm here to tell y'all, it's all about our Lord and Savior doing what he prophesied. He said, if you tear this temple down in 3 days, God will raise it up. He wasn't talking about that church temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. And through his own power, God raised up our Savior like no other man has ever done before. Got up from the grave by his own power. That's proof positive. And it's recorded in the Bible like no other man has done. You know, the claims in the Bible would be utterly just ridiculous if they were not true. But I believe it's true because I've seen miracles in my life, and I'm here to tell y'all that I am a miracle. Walking, talking, living, breathing miracle from the transformation that God has done in my life. And it's not just me. Oh, no, 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 no. So thank you, Flint Cavaliers. Let us know about that solid rock that is our Lord Jesus. My special guest is here. I'm here to tell you. He'll let you know he's a walking, talking miracle as well. And I have no shame in none of my game speaking about this awesome young man. He'll tell you that from 2012 through 2017, he was Golden Gloves boxing champion from where we're broadcasting now, my birthplace, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, who now is a personal trainer and ex-head coach of Gloves Not Guns Boxing Club with Albert Brewer, which, by the way, just had a wonderful boxing tournament right here in the city of Pine Bluff, right downtown on 6th and Main Street. They set up the boxing ring. We were out there. It was peaceful. It was such a wonderful celebration. Congratulations to Gloves Not Guns Boxing Club and Man of God Albert Brewer. But my special guest, Tobias Rogers, now lives in Missouri. Let me tell y'all something. We still feel the loss of this man here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, but Our loss is Missouri's gain, and he's just gotten his LLC, and now he is the proud owner of WOW, W-O-W, Rogers Fitness and Boxing Club. He's a child of Yah, the Most High, been married for 1 year now. Congratulations, you and woman of God, Tassie. What a wonderful union that is. I love both of y'all dearly. It's a beautiful, beautiful marital union y'all have. He's been an advocate for our youth for 14 years, y'all. He's a student of life, but a master teacher of the squared circle. And for y'all that don't know, that's the ring that they box in. And the sweet science of boxing, yes. Not a perfect man, he'll tell you, but he's a man under godly construction. 47 years young, has 3 children, a son, 22, a daughter, 25, and another queen, 10 years old. So without any further ado, my dear friend, good brother, man of God, Tobias Rogers is here on Fire, the Gospel Experience. And I'm happy about it, y'all. Come on in the room. Good brother Tobias Rogers, come on in the room. Bless you, young man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We finally got you here on this Fire Gospel Experience. How you doing, good brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing this evening? Oh, most blessed,
man,
the most
high. You sound good. You just sound like you're a blessed child of God, man. Thank you for joining me. You know, we had talked about this, man, a time back. Finally arranged it before we went live. We were discussing the fact that it just seemed like now is just the right time. Isn't God good about how he times things?
It's one thing I can say is he all time God. I'm gonna say that, and yes, he is. So you know, we can try to predict time, but we all know it's all on him. So you know, I'm just slowly finding it out, but I'm not ashamed of it. But yes sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. That's a good thing, man, because I'm just here to tell you, I'm just in a state of such confirmation, I guess you could say, a state of reassurance in my faith, man. And we go through these times where, you know, the devil will try to take away and then God will step in and add to, just like he did Job. And we'll probably talk a little bit about Job, because I think most people, and men in particular, I take nothing away from my sisters, but I know for a fact men have gone through some similar Job experiences where we were being tested and the devil was on our case hard. So what I would like for you to do, man of God, why don't you go ahead and share a little bit about yourself, share about your humble beginnings. Tell us about man of God, Tobias Rogers, man, from any point in life that you want to start, let us know who you are.
Well, thank you for that. For one, again, I say I'm a product of Pine Bluff. I grew up on the east side of Arkansas, which is Pine Bluff. It's kind of like the Bell Meet every year, and it was nice. So with that being said, we grew up, and my mom moved on the west side of Pine Bluff from Circle Drive, where my grandma, Miss Collins, raised us when my mom went off to North Carolina for a little minute, stationed on the military base with husband Calvin Terry at the time. Then we, like I say, we went to the major, like middle school, went to Southeast and left there, and we moved up the chain, as they on the ladder, as they say, and graduated from the high class in 92, and came out of that and did a little stint going to get my trade, and I majored in bricklaying and tile setting at Job Corps in San Marcos, Texas. And then when I came back from that, that's when I really, really, really honed in or got reconnected with my dad. And we just play around a little bit in the backyard, you know, we get through with the horses and stuff like that, and he was like, you know, you got a gift, you know what I mean? And I, you know, for a long time, we always think that gift coming from our background and where we were raised from, we were thinking when we hear the word gift, we were thinking that that gift is going to be, we're going to be on a pulpit or something like that. So, you know, it was confusing growing up, but I had to grow into what my gift was. And when I did, I realized that not only did I have speed, and I had power behind that speed. And then I was so humbled, you know, in that upbringing of knowing or bringing it out.
because it was like we grew up in that age of where we would take a lick, you know what I mean, before we would try to hurt another person. So it took a lot for you to kind of get it out of me to get me to come out. So it was like, yeah, you'll be good in time. Boom, I went to boxing, man, and I liked it that. Moved to North Carolina, and we did that for about maybe 9 years, came back to Arkansas. That's when my mom moved to, again, back on the east side. And that's when we stayed in Bellevue. So to catch us up to date with that right there, I kept boxing, man, but I did it under the shadows. You know what I mean? I really didn't want people to know I was boxing because I knew what it would bring, what kind of energy would come back from that. So I kind of hid it from everybody and a few of the family. But, yeah, I boxed for a long time there for a little minute. Then I really fell in love with it and moved. The Folks Boxing Club was it was at Eastside Baptist Church.
Okay.
And then Scott Ladd had it at Pine Bluff Boxing Club. And as we growing up, we used to hear that, you know, we had an uncle that boxed, which was Tim Wise Rock. So he was kind of well known in the street scene for using his hands and stuff like that. So, you know, as I grew up, he started, you know, coming and picking me up and taking me with him. You know what I mean? And they always thought that I was like his little bodyguard or something. But really, he was just really, you know what I'm saying, showing me the ropes a little bit, but also teaching me, you know, the ins and outs of boxing the right way. You know what I mean? So we got intertwined into that. And then I started my boxing career from that boxing club. And just kind of went up the rankings, man. And my first four fights I lost. So, you know, I was like, I ain't really hip to this. I don't know what's going on. So it was like a legitimate first. But then when I realized that it was a thinking man's game, you know, man, it's a science. It's how you put the things together. So when I kind of honed in on that, you know, part of my gift, as they always said I had, and then I started to understand that it's a small trap that you put your opponent in. So with that being said, I started putting my opponent in straps, and then I started delivering with more speed and power in combination. And I always catch them either coming in or coming out, you know, with something. So, yeah, I did that, and I give all praises to the Most High for keeping me, you know what I'm saying, in my right mind, but also keeping me healthy enough to where I didn't get injured in the ring, you know, too much.
Yeah.
You know, even though, hey, you got to know we got to take a punch.
It's
that
a combat
and,
sport.
That is for sure. So with that being said, I went up the rankings, and we started going out of town to different meets, and I didn't make the Olympics. You know, it was mostly my fault because I had got kind of lazy a little bit, you know, thought I knew everything at the time. So I kind of let the Olympics pass us by for a couple of years, and then Dad got back home.
I know you hated that, didn't you? I know you hated that.
I
missed the opportunity.
I really did, man. I really did. But as we were gonna talk about later on in the show of how God does certain things for you at certain times, and it's all about timing. It's not when you want it to be; it's when He is gonna put you in that proper place, and hopefully at the time that He puts you in that place, that you will be able to adhere and also be in command of all the attributes that He wants you to put out. You know what I mean? So with that being said, I went up the rankings, man, and then I just started winning. And then as I started winning, I started, you know, falling back in love with the craft, but also built a bond with my cousin that was from Arkansas. His name is Ellis Carroll. So we always hung, and he was kind of like my good luck charm. So even though, you know, we didn't let nobody in the family know that we were boxing, that I was boxing, he would always leave. We'd be gone for the weekend. And people would be wondering, like, where they go? We ain't seen them, you know what I'm saying, the whole weekend. And we pop back up, you know what I'm saying, Monday morning, ready for whatever. And but really, we were boxing, going out of town, man. And he was watching me fight, and he was kind of like my good luck charm. And I had never lost, you know, with him on my side. I got up to a 17-0 victory. I won the belt in St. Louis, Missouri, 2017. And I came back, and we're probably about 3 months into that right there. We got a couple phone calls from a couple pro entities, and one of the entities is a well-known entity, so he reached out to me, and TMT, I'm just going to say that. So he reached out to me, and we were going to sign a $100,000 contract, and at the time, and it's just crazy, which brings me to my story, is I was searching for my place, You know what I mean? Not only in life, but in spirit. And with that being said, God just was like, well, you always been praying to see, or you wanted wisdom. So before you sign that right there, I'm going to let you really see what it's really about. I mean, and he took me on that journey. When I went out to Las Vegas, I seen the beauty and I seen the evilness of what's going on. It's not the boxing that's out there in the square circle. It's the entities behind when they come at you. So with that being said, the devil was busy at that time. But, you know, the Most High kept me hugged. With that being said, he let me see what I needed to see and kept me away from the things that probably would have hurt me a long time before, you know what I'm saying, before now.
Now, hold your thought Hold your thought right there, Brother Tobias, because I need to go back a little bit before you continue on. I appreciate the truth of this story because you're telling some real understanding truth and making it transparent, because a lot of people don't understand. All they see is the glitz and the glamour, but they will miss the traps and the temptations behind you. But one of the things that I heard you say that I think was very interesting that I want to highlight a little bit about the nature of who you are, because, see, I can identify with something that you said. And I heard you say that when you were into boxing, you know that it's a combat sport, but you didn't want to hurt nobody. And I can recall growing up in the streets of Detroit, fighting just enough to let somebody know I'm not the one to be messed with and not wanting to hurt somebody. So I was kind of hitting them, but I wasn't giving them full punches. I was pulling my punches because I wanted to let them know I can fight. Leave me alone. I don't want to hurt you. Because at the same time, too, I'm thinking that if I hurt this person, they may take it to another level, and I don't want to be there with them. Or else, if I hurt them too much, it's going to be an ongoing thing. So I realized within myself, Brother Tobias, that I can take care of myself. But there's a spirit inside of me that is just a peace child, even when I'm fighting. I want you to talk a little bit about a peaceful spirited brother that ain't no punk, because a lot of people don't understand that.
Well, I'm gonna try to speak on it as much as I can through the spirit. I'm gonna say this, you know, pretty much everybody that we kind of grew up with or came up along that generation of all age, you know, we weren't like the biggest or the baddest. You know, that was coming up at that time. But our last name is something to reckon with, and that Rogers, it grows from there. So with that being said, you know, I always used to, you know, never really cared about what nobody else really thought, because, you know, pretty much I was the one that everybody usually come and get when something ready happened, because, you know, I was a young fool. You know, I really didn't know. I was just more or less like, I thought that the more and more people that's growing up, as we call friends, would come get me, it was more or less that it was going to lead to a beautiful whatever as the world is coming, or as the older we get, you know, we start thinking like, well, yeah, we're going to have a lot of friends because everybody, you know, saying know your name, or everybody know you as an individual, but the whole time we're just a vessel being used for whatever purpose they had. So to speak back, to get back on what you were saying about, you know, saying not being a punk. Well, I knew that is not in me because, again, I carry my last name and it holds weight. So with that being said, I didn't really look at, you know what I'm saying, anyone or anybody or any entity trying to pump me, because I knew that what's coming now is more or less what I had to go through then. I mean, in so many words, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a person that has a lot of power, you know what I'm saying, in one hand, that he know that he can cause destruction.
Yes, sir.
The deadliest, I guess I'm trying to get on is, what I'm trying to say is, that person know that he can hit somebody or can make a mighty blow and destroy every aspect of what they want to accomplish when they
exactly.
was coming toward him with that energy. So I just want to say this, you know what I mean? It took a lot of me, myself, knowing that I had so much anger built on the inside of me, and I wanted you know, bring it out. And then when people kind of light that fire up under me, I used to always want to bring it out right then. But, you know, it was just a spiritual or something in me, man. It just kept me from being a caring person at the tip top of that right there, knowing that What if I go too far? You know what I mean?
Thank you.
In rage, what if I go too far?
Mm-hmm.
And then what Thank if I looked at it like I'm supposed to look at it as people hyping me up to do something, but in turn, I got a caring bone in my part, my bone in my body about this person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's to say that
mm-hmm.
in months or weeks or years to come, me and that person might become the best friends, you know what I'm saying, that we didn't know of. So I always held back a little bit, you know what I'm saying, when it came to that right there.
I know.
But
I know.
I'm gonna say this part of it first. See, I didn't put myself out there to be a bad guy or wanting people to look at me like I was, you know, a bad guy or that I was, you know, giving that kind of energy where they had to worry about me doing something to them. See, I was always taught and brought up into a raised into if it's not your business, then don't get in it.
Leave it
and
alone.
And I just stayed away from that. You know, just leave it alone. So I was, you know, just growing up, you know, like my mom would tell you, I was always a standoffish child. You know, I was more into, you know, saying, going out, you know, hunting with dad or something, or just going fishing, just being away. Because I love quietness. I don't like a lot of, you know, a lot of noise, as they say. So with that going
yes,
up,
sir.
I
yes,
just
sir.
Kept to myself a lot. So with that being said, you know, now we just, what we run into is that a lot of our youth boys, and I just want to just put that sweet water on boys. See, our queens, our young queens are going through this as well, because what they see is, or how they're being raised is like, well, you don't want a boy to say this to you, and you don't want them to talk up under your clothes and this, that, and the other. But,
that's right.
You know,
that's
our
right.
kings, been on the other side of it, our kings are getting taught to, or what they see is, what's going on, what's the fad is, they don't even know the girl's name or nothing. They just listen to somebody else call, hey, man, you know, she's a this or she's a that, and she's a neighborhood this. So they start believing or falling intertwined into, you know, that energy. And they even forget, you know, stop even, you know, really just coming to the forefront of believing in or getting taught that you're supposed to value, you know what I'm saying, not only yourself, but your family who you're getting, you know, you're coming out and representing as well. It's, you know, so I don't want to get kind of clammed up because there's so much stuff running through my mind right now, you know what I'm saying, about the youth, you know what I'm saying, and then how we are as men has dropped the ball, you know what I mean? And not in a form of drop the ball to where there can't be another, you know, possession to get the ball and then put it in the right hands of a person that can lead it to a touchdown, as we're going to speak on that metaphor. But I'm saying as the generation that kind of came out when we grew up, man, well, we knew where, like you say, you're from Detroit, and I'm quite sure that you saw growing up there, it was a kind of like a we kind of knew who the baddest person in the neighborhood or in the streets were.
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
they had that reputation. So we knew that whatever that we were going to do, we didn't want it to kind of bump up against that threshold to where we had to come face to face with that person or that entity.
And I'm going to say this too. Not only that, when you did not know about a person, this is where I can see evidence of God in my life as I reflect back on my youth. I was baptized at 15, so I knew God had me covered up until the point of my day of redemption at the age of 15 years old. The thing about growing up in a big city is, and I didn't realize this until I came back home to Pine Bluff in 07. Been here 15 years, and I noticed that, man, it was people that were just friendly. You don't see that in big city unless you're on your block. Unless you're in your neighborhood.
Right.
When you leave your block in your neighborhood, you have to put on a whole nother personality of where you just, I'm straight up business, mind your business, leave me alone, I don't know you. And, man, I would see people waving at people, and you never, ever, ever see somebody you know. I remember one time I saw my mother standing at the bus stop. I was shocked because there's so many people in Detroit. You used to not seeing people you know. And then I realized, Tobias, that I had basically grown up around strangers. And do you know what that can do to a person's mentality when you have to stay on your guard 24/7? I'm talking about you have to go to bed sleep thinking I may have to get up all of a sudden at night because something unexpected dangerously might come into my home area, might come into my yard, might anything. So the thing that I noticed, and I want you to speak about this, is that you talked about anger. But my other point was is that you have to develop a certain sense of spiritual vibe. You have to have a sense of feeling trouble before it can get too close to you. That's spiritual discernment. That's being able to perceive wickedness, evil, darkness coming to you. And see, this is why I don't argue with people about the Bible, about my Jesus Christ, is because, see, the things that I'm talking about now, these come from spiritual acquisitions. You don't just figure this stuff out. It is revealed to you. So I want to talk about, because I'm concerned about my youth too. I speak to youth and they're almost surprised. I realize that they had that same mentality, Tobias, that I had growing up in Detroit. They don't even expect adults to speak to them. They're in their own lane, they're minding their own business in their own mindset, which is not good. Because somebody told me that we should be about the business of building bridges and not walls. We have to be the ones to deconstruct the walls that our youth are walking around in, ignoring us only when they want something or when it's totally, absolutely necessary. You talked about anger. I grew up angry. I grew up frustrated. I grew up mad. And what increased my anger, Tobias, is I felt like I had no one to help me resolve this anger. See, that added to it. So we need to stay in touch with our youth. So talk about the detriment that anger can have and how we need to try to reach and diffuse our youth, because they're another product of angry generations, just like you and I have experienced. Talk about anger. How can we deal with it even now as adults, and how can we try to relieve anger, that spirit of anger, in people around us, particularly our youth? What can we do?
Well, to be honest with you, Brother Ron, that is an enigma in itself. But I'm gonna say how I kind of work through my anger. Maybe it'll help someone, you know, someone out, someone that needs it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Even though I'm still dealing with it today, because I do. I'm like my mom. I just got an anger problem. But you know, just being raised, you know, that way is that sometimes with an angry face, it keeps people away from you. But it's not that I'm angry. Just that when I keep the angry face, it keeps people away from me. You know what I mean? So, with that being said, again, I'm going to speak on this. It's an enigma. Yeah. I just feel that, you know, each individual should find his quiet place.
Yes.
In that quiet place, you should be able to weigh out the process. Are you one, on a level of 1 or 2 or maybe 1 to 5 degrees angry, or are you on the other side of you from 5 to 10 degrees angry? You know, so if you 1 to 5, it's pretty much you are in tune with the inner self, which is what we call the Krishna consciousness. Okay, so now you're listening to, as we kind of grew up with, we kind of started seeing the cartoons that they would kind of feed us with, where you had the angel on one side and the devil on the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with that kind of mold growing up and that way of thinking, if you 1 to 5, then that means that you are in control of what you could do, or what is it to do before you go to level 5 to 10.
Yeah,
if you're on 5 to 10, that means you have already premeditated, bit your lip, and already decided on what you're about to do, whether it's for you to stop the threat or relinquish the threat from the whole entirety, where you don't have to deal with it anymore. And that's what society has went to, the 5 to 10. They no longer deal in the 5 to 1. You know what I mean? Like, you can be at a 1 and be like, well, I'm just going to pray for you. I know if I don't say anything, you know, eye contact, or if I just turn the other cheek, as Isha has taught us, turn the other cheek. See, a lot of us have been slapped on each cheek. You know what I mean? And that kind of metaphor, we have been slapped on those cheeks for so many years, and other people kind of forget that we all grew up in an era, whether it's by age or, you know,
or whatever, you know, department we want to put it in. We all grew up in those different eras. And we grew up in an era where, you know, we kind of hear like the old elders that we kind of look upon now as with the gray hair and gray beards. They told us that, man, ain't nothing wrong with out there going and giving you a good scuffle, a good fight. You know what I mean? It's gonna either make you this or make you that. But with that being said, you know, the beauty of it was they was teaching us that we live to see another day. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sometimes,
sir.
You know, and then I want to say this. A lot of growing up, man, it wasn't that we were fighting because we were mad at each other or anything like that. It was kind of like in the streets, it was kind of like you going over your cousin's house and everybody going to fight over a toy or something, or they're going to fight over the last bag of chips or, you know, something like that. But it didn't really get drastic, you know what I'm saying, my dear sir, until, you know what I'm saying, this new era of being cool came in, or thinking that it's cool. And I blame that on that era that kind of came through of the guys that were coming in and out of those prison structures, or, you know what I mean, getting a chance to go to boot camp and things like that. So they was coming out, you know, at that time it was kind of hush-hush. You know, they didn't really put it out in the open for, like, as you was a juvenile and you did something, they put you into those situations. And you were with grown folks, you know what I mean? You were grown men and you were teenagers.
Yep.
But you are locked up in with grown men. So with these grown men and hearing and seeing these grown men get into these situations over some of the most purest things that we live on the outside, we're looking at like a, you know, like we would say, a bag of, you know, a pack of noodles or a little Debbie cake or, you know, something minor or a telephone call. You know what I mean? So not to get deep into it, it's just that when that era came out to where it was cool to come out and say that it was okay for you being in that situation, and then picking up on those jail mentality habits of,
that's,
you know, being in this group of guys that, you know, that's always doing something, that's up to something, then they come out with this prison attire, these sagging of the pants, the showing of your drawers. I just, you know, I'm like my grandma on that. I never fathomed that. What, you know, like she would say, why would they make pants with the loopholes around them with the belt for you to sag them? I didn't get that. And, you know, growing up, we didn't have to see that. You know what I mean? It just came up. It was pushed upon us at a certain time when we were kind of coming out of that stage of junior high school and, you know, being all 20s and, you know, going to our 20s, you know, late 20s, I'm going to say that. And now it's just fashionably cool for these guys to be that way. So I never liked it. So to get back on what you were saying.
Hold your thought right there, man of God. Hold your thought. That's a good place where we're going to just pick up right after the music break because, that is something that I definitely want to talk about, man. It's another generation, and I understand they have their own thoughts and their own ways about doing things, but we're going to talk about manhood and having man in its right and proper place and seeing if we can just put some seeds out there and give the generations, not just the generations that's coming behind us, but we still got some generations right now that grew up with us that still have not grown up. So we're going to talk a little bit about male maturity after the music break. Lord, we need you. We just need you. We need you. We need you more and more. The more that we realize we need you even more than that. Here's Woman of God, Eloise, singing about it because this is our Men's Day right here on Fire, the Gospel Experience, talking about what we men need to talk about so that we can build up who we are and take our rightful places with my dear friend, man of God, Tobias Rogers, is putting it down, y'all, telling the truth, taking y'all way back and maybe to some times y'all didn't even know about. And that's exactly why I asked this good brother to join us. Come on, Woman of God, Eloise. Sing about it, because, Lord, it's so true. Yes, yes, we do need you.
My heart bleeds, my soul hurts, the tears are constantly falling down my face, the pain is so deep, the burden
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Fire, fire, fire. The gospel experience. Sounds of woman of God, Eloise, Lord, I need you now. Isn't that so true? So true, so true. Man of God, my dear friend, we certainly miss you here at Pine Bluff, Arkansas, but I am just so happy and pleased that you are doing well, man. You're setting up business where you are in Missouri. And I'm just glad to hear you're doing well and relocated and newlywed. And congratulations to you and Lady Tassie Rogers on y'all nuptials, on y'all life together as husband and wife. But I so hate that you had to leave us, man. I'm telling you, boy, that hurt.
Well, I would tell you, it hurted us as well, man, because, you know, it was kind of like what we talk about every time, man. It was like, I started something there in Pine Bluff, and it was always something that I always tell her about, that it was spiritually like I had put me in that place, and it was unfinished. So,
okay,
yeah, it hurted me too, man, to leave it, but I did it on behalf of not only bettering myself, but also wanted to create a better life for, you know, our little one that we got coming up. You know what I mean? It's not
absolutely
that Pine Bluff is. It's not, then I just want to say this. It's not because Pine Bluff is a bad place. I believe that what they're doing in Pine Bluff is not really benefiting the youth. And what I mean, when I say youth, I'm not talking about maybe your 2 to 9 year old child, because we have programs, they kind of make programs for that age group. No, we talking about the 15 to 19 year olds or the 14 to 19 year olds, because those are the ones, you know, that pretty much, you know, they, like I say, they're the new generation of babies, you know what I mean?
You
have to give them something that's a little bit, you know what I'm saying, for them, and there's nothing there for them. It's like, you know, they build something or to make something for the little kids to come play, which is phenomenal. We always want something to do for our smaller kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we're talking about the ones that we're, you know, that's putting that pressure on them to become something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So How can they become something when everything that you're putting out there is only there for a mere time, and then it's washed away so fast, and then you throw something else in there to on top of it to benefit younger kids, and there's nothing to do for our youth, man. So that, you know, that's what, that was my passion, got into that. So when I stopped boxing, man, you know, I prayed about it for many nights, man, and you know, I started to give up after, like I say, the death of my cousin. You know, that hurt me, so that's why I stopped boxing. You know, and God is like, no, you're too gifted in what you're doing to be, to just die. So what I want you to do is pick up the staff, pick yourself up, go back to school. So I was like, okay, so where am I going to go? Where am I going to go, God? And he was like, for one, I'm going to put you in a place, and you're not going to know where it is, you're not going to be familiar, but you will have to pull yourself out of what you're trying to get out of this, out of the town or your city. So I went back to school, man, and I got all my papers and everything and graduated my certificates, and I came back, and then that's when I kind of was like, I'm going to do it from the shadow realm a little bit. And I started working at the Murrow Center with Miss Jackie and Javonte.
I remember.
And, you know, and I was up there with those guys. And then I started to see how Mr. Ken Ward used to kind of just come in, and he would play his music and stuff around the kids, or he'll get on his little, you know, a saxophone, he'll play, and then see how the kids would react. And then he started implementing, like, music programs and little putting a speaker outside. And Jonte was always kind of like a offshoot or off branch of Miss Jackie. It was like they always had, you know, programs to do for kids, gardening tips, take them outside to learn what, you know, how to grow this, how to do that, and how to play amongst themselves without being, you know, frustrated with each other. So with that being in turn, that kind of inspired me to be in the shadow part of it. They had an empty gym down on the other end, and I was like, Miss Jackie, why the gym locked down there? And she was like, well, that used to be the boxing club. I was like, what? So, boom, the center just kicked in.
There
and I was
it
like,
is.
Okay,
there
so I started going down there, you know, just peeping out the workout regimen that Scott Ladd, you know, had, and, you know, and I was just peeping them out. And then Scott was like, hey, I want you to go, and I want you to talk to my other coach that I have over there. So I'm like, okay, another coach he got over there. So we went over there, and then I met Cal Barber. Man, I'm talking about, it was like my dad. It was like God just rekindling or lighting every candle that I need to be lit to see my pathway. And when I met Cal Barber, man, I seen a passion that he had in those young kids, you know, when he implemented the Marine Corps workout into the boxing effort, and then the chess, you know, in the chess moves in the ring. So we linked up. And from there, we started, you know, just coaching the kids out of the Pine Bluff Boxing Club. And then years passed, and, you know, sad to say that we had lost Kyle Barber. And at that, you know, morale kind of went down in the gym a little bit. But by the sake of the Most High, kids were steady coming down there wondering what all that pop was in that gym was about. You know what I mean? And Coach Ladd stayed there with us for a minute, and then gradually through the years, he started seeing how passionate I was with the kids and how I would diffuse certain situations of the young men that were at the boxing club or at the Murrow Center. You know, it really wasn't no, you know, bad things you could hear about the Murrow Center at that time that we were all there, because Miss Jackie would come get me when things get aroused. And then if I seen the guys were kind of huffing at each other and they need to get off a little steam, then I would be like, okay, how mad are you mad at the other individuals? So they wouldn't say anything. So we were like, okay, we're going to go down here to the box club. We're going to put the boxing gloves on, and we're going to go and get this out the way right now. So that kind of diffused a lot of the evilness that was kind of coming in the years to come, you know what I'm saying, after we would kind of build what we're, you know, what it is today. So with that being said, it was just, so we did that, and I took over Pine Bluff Boxing Club after Scott Ladd had left it for a minute. And then I was just kind of, taking on clients a little bit from that area, and then also just keeping the old boxers that were still trying to hang in there a place to come to where they can get off their frustration too and also train. So in the midst of doing that, man, I started really, and God started tuning me to look at the youth with the small kids and the kids that were kind of like the teenagers. So with that being said, we did that, and it was going, you know, pretty good for a minute, and then Albert Brewer came to me, which I knew he had already had a boxing club, you know, from the church, you know, that I was kind of hearing about. So we kind of sat down and we dialected a little bit, and he said that he was coming up with this Gloves Not Guns thing. And I was like, man, that's crazy, because, you know, we was coming up in an area that, you know, that era where all that stuff was happening with that gunplay, and, you know what I'm saying, where the youth were doing it. So we started Gloves Not Guns, and man, it was like boxing was in the darkness there in Pine Bluff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, just like, you know, we were talking about Job, you know, and I feel like, you know, not only you kind of brought that to my spirit, but my wife used to always bring that to me. And I used to get kind of not angry, but I used to just look at her sideways, because she was like, you my Job. And I'm like, well, maybe I need to go back and read this and see, you know, what did I miss? You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so when I did, and I kind of put myself in Job's position, I started to see what she meant. So with that being said, man, it was a long journey, man, and we started Gloves Not Guns. We came from the darkness into the light. We started making a little bit of TV presence, and then things started, you know, getting on the right track with the boxing club. And then what we were trying to do was bring something to Pine Bluff that it really needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what we started to see. And what I feel in my heart is that there's so much anger in that little town, but for some reason, you know what I mean? We don't, you know, I can't pinpoint my finger on it, but there's so much anger in that town. But yet and still, you know, it's like my great-grandma used to say, and I remember her saying that, you know, people get mad at you in this town for smiling. And I used to be like, what? Like, grandma, what you mean? And, you know, I give it a side eye, too. Like, grandma, great-grandma, what you mean? People get mad at you for smiling. See, I didn't see that until I got old.
Let me share this. Hold on, Doc. Let me share this, because I understand what she's saying by that. And I really want to go back to some things that you said that, you know, I remember when you talked about, you know, fighting and things like that, and how some of the elders would be like, it's okay to go out there and scrap a little bit. Because really what they were saying from their mentality is, if you get into occasional scrap every now and then, that will let you know how sharp your fight game is. If you need to bone up on your fight game, you go out there and, you know what I'm saying, get into it with somebody, and that'll let you know what level you are or are not. But also, too,
right,
you said some things about the youth not having things to do at a certain age here in Pine Bluff. And then you just confirmed where I'm about to go when you said that your grandmother said that basically if you smile at somebody or looking at somebody the wrong way or a certain day, that's enough to set them off. That's because, good brother, there are some things here for youth to do. But the streets are out there recruiting them to tell them that, man, that stuff they got going on ain't nothing. See, there is a presence of evil and darkness, not just in Pine Bluff, but it's in the suburbs, too. It just don't get the airplay. It just doesn't get the same airplay and media coverage when it's out in the suburbs than it does when it's in the inner city. Because we already know that strategically that there is systematic racism at certain levels of the media and the press.
I agree.
That always
I
wants
agree.
To try to picture and portray urban people, which is primarily black people and lower income people, as being, you know, people that are really causing the biggest problem. But when it happens somewhere else, there's always an excuse being made. But the real root of the problem is that there is a dark spiritual presence everywhere. It's just that when people have no hope, that darkness is able to manifest more in more people, because they feel downtrodden, they feel worthless, their self-esteem is at an all-time low, and on top of that, Brother Tobias, they have no spiritual covering to protect them from evil influences and thoughts. So our youth are being recruited to do those things that are what is considered streetwise, what is looked upon as getting a badge of honor on the street for being a tough guy, for maybe selling a little weed, for maybe having a whole bunch of little young girls strung out on, you know, sexually, or even with drug use. There, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The streets will try to honor people for doing those things that are displeasing to God. And some kind of way, there is enough enticement in it so that there is enough pleasure to lure them, which is really just the bait to get them to get hooked in to the street life. And then when the programs do come along, they'd be like, man, that stuff ain't about nothing, but they've already been persuaded. So it's really up to us to try to bring them a better, more potent influence of doing the right thing and doing the good thing. I hate to leave this conversation right there, good brother, but listen, you have shared so much transparency, man. I am just so thankful for the change and the turn, because see, we're going to talk about how God turned Job's life around, and I'm so grateful to be a witness in how God has turned your life around too. We didn't get it all in. I'm going to have to bring you back so that we can kind of complete this interview, man, because you have enough to share about your life that I know is going to be a blessing to some people out there to hear your testimony. But before you go, good brother, I'm going to ask you to share maybe one last thought of power, of enlightenment and encouragement that you want to share with us before we let you get out of here.
I just want to say that we all have been knocked down in our own four corners of our own ring. And I'm going to say this. We all think that we're tough, or we can go get up or go through certain things, but we can't do it alone. We must do it at all times with the Most High in our corner,
yeah,
or behind us. So I just want to say this. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're suffering from, stay focused and have faith.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Stay focused.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me in, and I will be more than happy to do a second one to this first one, because I'm like you. I'm a little long-winded, and I like that. You know what I mean? But so much stuff is running through my spirit and mind every day. It is a blessing to be able to share it, you know, through another black man, you know.
Yes, sir.
That's also on the same plateau, that's not afraid, you know, to say that we've been in certain positions and places, and he has brought us from those yokes, and we are anew.
That's
even
right.
Even though we're still under construction, we are anew.
Thank you.
So, you know, it's, I'm not new to this, but I am true to this. So that being said, man, I want to thank you for bringing me on the show tonight, man. And I love you, man. And my wife said, thanks for giving me a chance and opportunity to put me on your platform, giving me a voice of the voice.
Yes, sir.
Because I keep, in her words, I keep stuff so much bottled in, you know, because I was raised that way. And pretty much you got to do something to me to make me come out. So with that being said,
well,
man,
what
I'm gonna
do, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take the Bible at its word and let iron sharpen iron, because you know I'm gonna be there for you. I'm gonna keep it real. I'm gonna keep it 100, because we have to find brothers of substance that's gonna help us keep our level of living and keep our level of being the best we can be 100. Amen. Goes right there, and it's a good thing, because when brother like you and I have something to say, it's because God has used our life experience to say what needs to be said. We ain't scared, we ain't intimidated, and we're not worried about what other people may or may not want. Take it. Once we have done what we were supposed to do with whatever God gave us to do or say, it's on the responsibility of other people to take it or leave it. Good brother, I appreciate you. I love you. I appreciate who you are in God. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to ask you this, though, because I know you're in, what, Kansas City, Missouri?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I want you to go ahead and let the people there in Kansas City, Missouri, know where your facility is. Give them the information to get in touch with you so that they can not only get the training physically and in that squared circle of the sweet science as well as fitness, but also to get some mentorship for those youth that's right there in Kansas City, Missouri. Give them the information that they need so that the people there where you are can get in touch with you and benefit from who God has made you to be.
All right. I just want to say that, for the Kansas City area, the number and everything is on my W.O.W. Rogers, which is Wild Rogers. It's on my platform, and I will be putting it back up on Facebook within the hour with a little bit more information. We're trying to get my schedule together right now because I'm also working in the daytime and get off in the evening, so we're trying to put both of those together to where open the facility at the hours that probably would need be. So the numbers, the contact numbers on the front of it that I'll be putting out, and I just want to say that thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And he is on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. So if you need to go to his Facebook page and get all the relative and current information about who this man of God is as a trainer, as a boxing trainer, fitness trainer, you could just go to Tobias Rogers, T-O-B-I-A-S. Tobias Rogers, R-O-D-G-E-R-S, right there on Facebook. He's my friend, he's my brother, and he is so cool about who he is now. I had to bring him on Fire to Gospel Experience just so y'all can see what I'm talking about. Have y'all ever seen a cool brother on fire? Well, that's my man right there, Tobias Rogers. Appreciate you, good brother. Looking forward to having you come back. We'll work it out.
We'll do so, brother. Thank you.
Amen. Tobias Rogers, y'all. He was right here in the house on Fire to Gospel Experience. Yes, he was. Yes. Oh. Amen. Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about, because, see, good brothers like that, man, we can sit and chat and chop it up, man, for hours talking about what needs to be talked about. I'm talking about some things of substance, man, not just some old random stuff that they talking about under the pecan tree with them dominoes sucking on their gums all over again and ain't changed nothing in about 5, 10, 15 years. What a shame. We're moving forward. We're going to keep it real right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. You want to be my special guest? Get in touch with me. You can give me a call at 870-413-0220. Amen. Or send me an email address. Send me an email. My address is ronaldjefferson1@aol.com. I'll get you in here. You don't need no big title, big reputation. I don't even ask y'all for money. You want to make a donation? Cool. But that ain't what it's all about. I'm trying to get the message about God changing people's lives and making them better than they have ever been before. That don't mean we don't go through hard times, trials, troubles, tribulations. That don't mean that we still are learning. We are under construction, like man of God Tobias Rogers just got through telling you. We're not perfect, but perfection is our goal, which means we are giving God 100% every day. You may not be the same 100% I had the other day, but I'm going to give it my very best day by day. Amen. Goes right there. And what I want God to do is to just look at my heart. Help me be the person that I need to be from the inside out. That way I don't have to fake it. I don't have to front. I don't have to perpetrate. Here's man of God, Gerard Mitchell, with Minister Ronald Walker talking about a clean heart. And that's what it's really all about. Lord, give me a clean heart, and then I'll know for sure, that you really can use me and make a difference. Amen.
Psalm 51 reads, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Love.
Today we are asking God to change our hearts, change our minds, change the way we walk, change the way we talk. You know, the Bible says that any man who be in Christ is a new creature, that old things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Come on, ECW.
No selfishness.
Come on, let's do that again.
Say no envy. Say no greed. Say no selfishness.
No selfishness.
That's it. I'm feeling that right now. Come on.
Say Lord, fix it.
Lord, fix it.
Say Lord, fix it.
Lord, fix it.
Say Lord, fix it.
Lord, fix it.
Say Lord, fix it.
Lord,
that's it.
Say my mind.
Lord, fix it.
Say my heart.
Lord, fix it.
Say Lord.
Hello, everyone. I am TV, radio host, author, and choreographer, Apostle Sherita Lovelace. I am called by God to celebrate who He is in the highest. If you're in search of someone who will change the atmosphere with the spirit of great worship, praise, or even a spoken word for your concert, revival, seminar, or fellowship, you can contact me by phone at 404-295-7367 or by email at SheritaLovelace@gmail.com. Listen, please join me for the Triumphant Show with Sherita Lovelace on Facebook Live every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will be blessed with my anointed special guest and myself in some relevant spiritual conversations. Right now, you're listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the fire is a moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I'm inviting you to let the light of Jesus the Christ shine bright in your life. So, by all means, keep it tuned in to Fire, the gospel experience, which will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Be a blessing to your family, friends, and coworkers by telling them about Fire on this station. It's all about kingdom building.
What's going on, family? What's going on? This is Jerry Royce Live Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland. And you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
First, I was down and out. Every time I turned around, I was talked about. Yes, I was yours. Instead of helping me out of my strain, my friends went all over the town scandalizing my name. You know that they did, but let me tell you what I did. I turned my troubles over to Jesus. Forgot all about my problems. He reached down from his throne and fixed everything that was wrong. He made everything. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. I got a surprise. Dwayne sang.
You just lost your job and you don't have enough money to pay your bills.
No, you don't.
All you tried has failed. You asked everyone for help, but no one will.
I know you're right about it.
I know I'm right about it. Turn your troubles over to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Forget all about your problems. Watch him reach down from his throne and fix everything that's wrong. I know that he will. Make everything wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus said in his word, cast your cares on me. He came that you may have life and have it all abundantly. Oh, I know that he'll make it.
He'll make it all right.
I know that he will.
Calling out our names. The first
while it heals all the hurt.
When God calls your name, you best be ready and trust and believe he will call your name. It's just a matter of will you be ready. And before that, we heard from Rome and Reborn singing about all right. It's going to be all right. And then, yes, Lord God, the Guineas came in with Savior of the World. These anointed gospel artists, I am telling you, they really know how to set this fire gospel experience off just right. We are embracing for your spiritual uplift and consideration from the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 12, amen, where it reads, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part, because God loves us in spite of what we go through. It's just a matter of our understanding. Many of us believers know the story of Job all too well. It's one of those stories that we learned as children, along with Jonah and the whale and the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Yet it probably wasn't until we were adults, until we learned the true spiritual significance of this very one-of-a-kind Bible story. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. And there are many of us believers who may still be wondering about, when will God bless me later in life, just like he did for Job? Well, that's where we have to go back to the beginning of this story. Before God turned Job's life, and that's what we're talking about turned it, this time in Job's life, when literally all hell broke loose. Job 1 and 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Job was a man in the Gentile land of Uz, which is known in Bible times as Mesopotamia, which would be modern-day Iraq. This man is not known to have any connection with the Abrahamic covenant or the people of God. Yet he's written about as being a man that has the knowledge of the true God, who prays, worships, and lives in obedience to God, as well as an intercession for his children. And I'm certain for others too, because, yes, that's what we intercessors do. We pray for everybody that comes into our spirit. People that we can think of, we pray for them. Amen. And then in another heavenly realm, far, far away from our earth realm, there is a conversation taking place to which Job has no knowledge of, none whatsoever. In Job 42 verse 6, it says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Verse 8 says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Now, this is where hopefully many of us will find some solace in our trials, troubles, and tribulations. Verse 9 goes on to say, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put an edge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Listen to what the devil tried to get God to do. The Bible says God tempts no man with evil, but yet and still the devil said, stretch out your hand. Satan was trying to get God, listen now, to do his dirty work by saying to God, stretch out your hand. Verse 12 says, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power. See how our God turned it right back around? You can't trick me, Satan, says God. I'm not going to do your dirty work for you. This is in your will. You have the power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Uh-huh. See there? We are always under God's protection. Regardless of the trial, troubles, and tribulations we go through, God is saying you can only go so far with the troubles, trials, pain, hurt, desperation, depression, and anxiety. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, we have an invisible, at least to the human eyesight in this earth realm, enemy of man's soul, who is Lucifer the devil, who was formerly Satan, a very high-ranking archangel who rebelled against God and persuaded one-third of the heavenly angels. As Satan went out from the presence of God, he attacked Job from every possible vantage point, his finances, family, health, and reputation. Now, let me ask y'all, which one of us can say that we can identify with Job? Well, maybe only on particular, and then maybe in smaller degrees, I'm sure. But none of us can say that we have been where Job was. Yet, at the end of this amazing Bible story, we read that God turned it now for good for Job. Giving you some good inspiration, talking about turned it from Job 42, verse 12, giving that encouragement that we need, because we all have those times. We all have those moments when we wonder if we can make it. Well, here's man of God, Adrian Wilson, letting you know we're champions only through God. Thank you, Lord.
For those of you who are oppressed, depressed, and feeling defeated, I've got a message for you. We are champions. We live victorious. More than conquerors. Through Christ who lives in us. Everybody help me sing.
We are champions.
We live. This is a secret, claim it. All things work.
All things work.
Come on, put your hands together.
I'm a winner.
Yeah, when you get up in the morning and you're
us never quit, with us never win. Listen, you gotta speak it over yourself. Pull out your phone and text somebody. Tell them the Lord called you a winner. You don't have to worry no more. You gotta see yourself in the future. Clap your hands and say it. You can make it, you can take it. Proclaim it for yourself, I'm a winner. Now let's take it home.
You're a winner in Jesus Christ, because greater is he that's in you. Yes, Holy Spirit, God is in you, than he that is in the world. Sounds of Man of God. Adrian Wilson reminding us that you are a champion, because the devil will try to have us believe that we're beaten, that we're defeated, and that there's no way that we can win. But I need to help you understand, we have already won. Just a matter of just going through by faith. God wants us to exercise our faith. It's just going to draw us closer to him. And then the world will see us go through and know there's got to be a God, because there's no way he or she could have survived what they went through. I know what they went through. I've seen it. I was there. I was a witness. And for them to be able to look like they don't look nothing like what I know they've been through, there must be a God. We're embracing for your spiritual consideration. Turned it from Job 42 and verse 12. Don't you know God turned it for good for Job? Verse 10 says, we're picking up where we left off. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortune and gave him twice as much. You hear that? Twice as much as he had before. Before God restored Job, Job humbled himself before God. When we're going through tough times, let us take the time to examine ourselves to see what we may have done in any way to contribute to our own harsh days. Then go humbly ask God to hear, forgive, and restore us, just as he did for Job. Yes, Job grew weary. He did. Who wouldn't grow weary going through what he went through? He was angry and eventually blamed God for even allowing him to be born to endure such pain, such humiliation, such degradation. But eventually, we learn to honor God, regardless of the pain, pressure, and those postures that may have us bent over down so low in dark places in our hearts, minds, and spirits. It's only a test, beloved. It's only a test for those of us that are committed to living sanctified, which just means set apart for God lives and righteous lives in the beauty of holiness. That means as God is pleased with us, we have decided we're going to live a life that God has ordained, which is holy. And we are going to be obedient, so we are living in holiness, as the case was with Job, who lived this horrible nightmare for us as our example. Should God say to Satan, the devil, has he tried you or I? And then we stay in faith, y'all, and we endure come whatever the devil brings to us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. And then, yeah, we rejoice and celebrate, just like Job did when God stepped into Job's life and turned it all around with many, many blessings. It's in the Bible. Verse 42 of Job, verse 16 says, after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man full of years. Talking about years of joy, prosperity, blessings, peace, because he kept his faith and God blessed him. God turned that thing around, y'all. Yes, he did. And he'll do it for you, too. Won't he do it? I'm here. I'm a witness. He did it for me, y'all. I'm telling y'all. I told y'all what I went through and how God has blessed my life now. Y'all think I'm exaggerating, just making it up. But don't you worry about it, because I had to do like Alicia Moore and Stan Edward Moore did when they singing about reach. Yes, I had to reach inside my spirit, and then I had to reach up to God, and then he blessed me. Come on, Alicia Moore, Stan Edward Moore. Let's talk about it. Let's do some more reaching for God.
For every action, there's a reaction. Yeah. Reach. Go. Reach. Reach. This is it. Yeah. I'm not no rapper. And I don't write lyrics, I just write notes to your spirit. Pray you can hear it, so you be uplifted. Times get rough, times you don't feel it. Running on empty, like backside of soul. See, I'm talking about me, turn my back on the promise. Walked away from his blessings, learned some hard lessons. Hell that I'm catching, said it's hell that I'm catching. Now it's hell that I'm catching. Prodigal daughter, a string from my father. Pimp life and club life, just making things harder. But this ain't the end for me, so just in this time. Power and favor and demons can't handle me. Remember that I'm royalty and who I was born to be. Inspired and teach the game, you can win it. Just keep staying in it, keep praying. He listens to each one of us. Yeah, now I know life is tough. Yeah, but it's sugar you love. Reach for his power, reach. Reach for his blessings, reach. Reach for his grace, reach for his mercy and your rightful place. Reach. Reach for his power, reach. Reach for his blessings, reach. Reach for his grace, reach for his mercy and your rightful place. Reach for the stars, it's what daddy said to be proud of your scars. Embrace your identity, never be one of them. Follow the leader type, never me. She not caught up in no clicks, yeah, cause that mouth be so slick. Kingdom venom, she spit efficiently, bursting these scriptures. Armored up, ready to battle, still cute, taking pictures. Swing buddy, misses. I'm a queen, know your place. Ha, know your place. Ain't worry about nothing, I'm walking by faith. Take back what's mine. Over time, you can't stop me. Jesus, he got me. She know his voice. Now you leave me no choice. Yeah. Reach for his power, reach. Reach for his blessings, reach. Reach for his grace, reach for his mercy and your rightful place. Reach. Reach for his power, reach. Reach for his blessings, reach. Reach for his grace, reach for his mercy and your rightful place. Yeah. Said she know his Lord. Now you need me no choice. Ha.
Hello, I'm Life Coach, Prophetess, and Evangelist Monica Flowers, and you are listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with my brother, Ronnie Jefferson. This Fire Radio ministry will bless your souls with uplifting biblical inspiration and also anointed gospel music. I pray that my anointed Facebook Live videos, sermons, and posts will not only uplift your spirit, but challenge you to live a more kingdom-minded life. Also, I believe my new book, If I Had One Wish, where I take my readers on a deeper spiritual journey as I had to go on after the passing of my husband, will bless your life. To purchase my book, you can paypal.me/ If I Had One Wish, or you can go on Amazon, If I Had One Wish by Monica Flowers. It's also available Kindle ebook style. I praise God because he is definitely worthy. So keep it tuned in and bless your family, friends, and coworkers by telling them about FIRE on this station, where it's all about kingdom building. Blessings.
Amen, amen. Thank you, woman of God, Monica. Let me tell y'all something. When she wrote that book, she was talking about her previous husband, because I need to let y'all know, give y'all an update. She has remarried. She has a brand new husband. Life is good, but I'm telling you, that story that she has to tell in her book is still touching indeed. Monica, we thank you, woman of God. You keep doing your thing. She's on Facebook. You can go there and get more information on her book. Her Facebook name is Yah, Y-A-H, Yah, Yah, talking about the name of God, Yah's Queen, right there on Facebook, Monica. Amen, goes right there. Listen, I want to thank all you beautiful people, all you beautiful souls for just keeping it real and tuning in and support this FIRE gospel experience. I am blessed to have many, many resources that syndicate this FIRE Gospel Experience Ministry. You don't have to wait for me every Saturday at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or on Sunday when I'm back on Internet Radio at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go to Ron E. Jefferson on YouTube and pull up my previous four-year broadcast of FIRE, the Gospel Experience. I'm also blessed to be on my Instagram page. You can go there to Ronald Jefferson 1, as well as my Twitter page, Ron E. Jefferson 60, and pull up all of these dynamic, anointed FIRE Gospel Experience programs. I'm broadcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Spotify. I want to thank all of my wonderful syndicating kingdom partners, Jerry Royce over at Positive Power 21, Navin Peaches over at Gospel Songwriters Conference Radio, GSWC Radio, Lavette Gillespie, Praise Him More Media, and then Pam Jones over at the River and Word Gospel Radio Station, as well as Woman of God Stephanie McDonald at United Praise. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. I just want to leave y'all after I thank my special guest, man of God, former Golden Glove boxing champion, personal trainer, husband, father, man of God, Tobias Rogers, for coming in and keeping it so real. I just felt it just tingling in my spiritual toes, as well as thank you, each and every one of you all, for just tuning in. If I may, I want to leave y'all with this final word that I heard today in a message from guest pastor Rodney Harrison over there at my church, New State Hurricane Missionary Baptist Church, right here in Pineville, Arkansas, pastored by, yes, Derek Easter. He said from his message, Living Out God's Will, from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 through 12. Isaiah 42, verses 10 through 12. He said, God has a way of using adversity to advance us. Woo! Wasn't that long time for this broadcast? Yes, it was. Thank you so much, Pastor Rodney Harris, for letting us know God has a way of using adversity to advance us. So you hold on, and don't you dare give up. You keep on keeping on. And have no fear, like man of God, Reston Jackson, is getting ready to leave us on this very positive, uplifting, spirit-filled, fiery encouragement. No fear. No fear. Until next time, I pray God bless you, keep you, cover you, lead and guide you, and bless you so much so that you'll have to go and run and tell somebody, because the blessings will overflow and you'll be so happy in Jesus, you just want to be a blessing to somebody else. So keep doing what you're doing. God has his eyes on you. He's watching you and watching over you. And you're covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And Holy Spirit God is right there living inside of you. And there are a number of angels that cannot be numbered that are there to protect us. And even if you go through some sort of trial, tribulation, God is using you as an example of somebody that has pure faith, that's willing to endure even when things get their most heinous, their most trying. Even unto death, we will be faithful to our God. You all be blessed in Jesus. And like Man of Rest and Jackson about to bless us with these encouraging words and songs, have no fear. No fear! Jesus, precious name.
Let me encourage you today. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're doing. With God, you have no reason to fear.
God, I'm so glad that you called me. Until there's always a place to fulfill my destiny, yeah. But sometimes fear it seems to overwhelm me and make me doubt who you said that I can be, yeah. But even you
You can try to get it.